Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, whereas the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 5 and 6. "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." You know, I could flip over three chapters. We can read of that, the passion of Jesus Christ, where by Christ's stripes we were healed. It's obviously a prophecy of Christ. But he said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Yes, the stripes on his back, by his stripes were healed. I understand that he's the one that paid for our salvation. But Jesus calls us to take up our cross. Now, you taking up your cross and suffering for the Lord, that's not going to save you. It's not going to save anybody else. But it's necessary. It's necessary because self needs to be destroyed. Ambition needs to be destroyed. Our own ways of thinking need to be purged and burnt out of us. And God uses calamity. God uses things happening to us. God uses persecution. God uses all sorts of things that we would say, "Hey, you know, that's not right. Why is this happening to me?" But God uses brokenness and suffering. Suffering, okay, things are happening to me, but brokenness, that's a decision in the heart to say, "Okay, Lord, I surrender to you. You know, they took my stuff and I worked hard for that and handed down from daddy and all that stuff. And who are they? But Lord, I give it to you. They stole it, but Lord, I surrender to you. I hope they can make use of it." And in your heart, you forgive them. Well, that's an example of brokenness. It's a decision. Anybody can suffer, but what you do with it, if you allow God to do something with it in your heart, that's where brokenness comes in. You know, God calls us to be humble. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. I don't find where Paul said, "Look, you're going to do this or else." He said, "I beseech you. Please do it. You ought to do it, but I'm not here to, I'm not the apostle. I'm not the one in charge. I'm not the one on top. I'm the offscouring. I'm the one on the bottom." What did I say? Ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Don't be like the Nicolaitanes. God hates that. We're not supposed to be above the laity. It's what Nicolaitanes means. We're supposed to be under the laity, serving and helping. It's not a pastor's job, not an evangelist or whatever's job, to tell people what to do. It's to tell them what God can do for them and to ask them to respond. Again, the mission of the church is to preach the gospel to the world. But we must forsake ourselves and wholly rely upon Jesus if we're to get it done. Verse 10 and 11. "Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall you have at mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow." You want purpose-driven? God's got methods. If you want to use other methods, okay, fine. Do what you want, God says. You want to believe in the hundredfold return and seed faith and all that stuff? Okay, fine, do it. But you're going to have sorrow, God says. Nobody in your subdivision is going to get saved. Not truly saved. You want to name it and claim it and all that stuff? Let me tell you, all of your sinner friends laugh at you for believing that stuff. They know it's a fraud. They can spot frauds. Why can't you? Romans chapter 10, verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, I don't mean to pick on any church or whatever denomination. It's not my point. I'll pick on false teachers. But if you go to a good church or whatever, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. There are some denominations that I've run across in the past that this verse right here, establishing their own righteousness, to me, it's this verse describes them perfectly. It's about them and about making sure that they are upstanding members of society and whatever and etc. They want to be perfect and holy and whatever. But you know, God's the one that's perfect. God's the one that's holy. And He calls us to be perfect as He is perfect, but it's not in our righteousness. Which of you by thought can add one cubit to your stature? Jesus asked at one point. You know, you can't do anything. You can't turn one hair on your head white or black. You can't do it. We must depend upon God and His righteousness. If you short-circuit, for instance, sanctification, or you short-circuit justification or whatever, maybe you have something in your own eyes, but God's saying, but I've got something that you completely forgot about. You're missing out. You're missing out on what I have for you. Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You try to set yourself or your church or your denomination up as the epitome of righteousness and holiness and whatever. You've dug your own well. You got your own cistern. Some of you too young to understand what a cistern is. In the old days before running water, you had a big barrel, and let the rain come in. And when you wanted water, you go over there and, I got water because it's collected. That's a cistern. But he says if you try to do it in your own power and by your own goodness, your cistern is broken and can hold no water. Such as I have, give I that unto thee. I don't have nothing. My cistern's broken. Got no power. How many preachers on TV got no power? Radio's a little bit better, but there's some dry ones there too. You need the power of God. Silver and gold have I none. But man, they had the power of God to reach down and pull up a man and his feet. He couldn't ever stand. He could do his crawl. Pulled him up. Pulled him right out of his crippleness. And on the way up, bam, his feet and ankles received strength. Well, our bylaws are not deacon board. Well, we can. No, you can't. It's the power of God. That's the only thing that could do that. Don't establish your own righteousness. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Sounds like Isaiah, I think, chapter 58, doesn't it? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Get your heart right. Get your eyes in the right thing, helping somebody else instead of worrying about you and your hundredfold return. There are people in other countries that That doesn't make any sense to them, prosperity movement. I mean, there are people that have to beg every day. In India, it's horrible. I know that's the worst place in the world. Haiti, I've been there. I know about beggars. I know about people that they work from, 5 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night, and all they can barely do is feed themselves and manage to somehow get their kid to school. And that's their entire life. Car, they see them passing. They'll never own one. Same thing in India. They work, and they're engineers and all of this stuff and whatever, and they still, unless they're rich, an engineer, if he wasn't born rich, he'll never own a car. An engineer, okay, can never purchase a car, except maybe a very old and used one, because their economy is so mired in the dirt. But Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. If you're thirsty in your soul. Man, I remember back when I was at LSU and trying to make a living, work 40 hours. And it was 4 or 5 miles away, had to start out walking, and finally got a bicycle, was going over there. It was an hour walk each way. Finally, the bicycle cut it down to 20 minutes. That was great. $4 an hour. I managed to take 1 or 2 classes each semester. But I remember, and again, I'm on foot a bicycle. I remember I had my 10-speed bicycle, and I get a couple of bags of groceries and a couple of bags of groceries, and I'd put them on the handlebars and try very hard not to fall into the ditch. I was able to eat on $26 a week. Man, I go eat out twice now, and that's gone. Ate a lot of beans, ate a lot of oatmeal, ate a lot of fried eggs. Spam. But he says, if you're thirsty, if your kid's on drugs and you've gone through a divorce and whatever, if you're thirsty, come ye to the waters, God's waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Well, I can't afford it. Yeah, you can. Just come on in, sit down. It's free. It's priceless. It's priceless. I remember when I got saved, I remember for years walking in a cloud of despair and depression for 6-7 years. Then I got saved, and instantly it was like 1,000 pounds lifted off my shoulders. I was so happy. Didn't know any better. Instant Pentecostal dancing in my dorm room over at South Stadium number 221. I remember it. Remember the next morning I woke up, eyes open, and I was scared to death because I thought, was it a dream? Oh, it was so wonderful, and if it was just a dream, I don't know what I'm going to do. But a few seconds later, the Spirit of God began to move in my heart, and I knew it was real. I knew it was real. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Never looked back. Tell you what, ain't going back to the bars, ain't going to go back to drugs. I'm sorry, I found the living waters. It's priceless, but it's free because Jesus paid the price for you. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Well, I give, to the TV preacher and whatever, and I'm still waiting for my 100-fold. Well, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. It's a great invitation to the lost. It's what we're supposed to preach Jesus. We preach not ourselves, but Christ. The woman at the well, she left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Well, he is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one sent from God. He's the one that unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Look to him, not to a denomination, not to some apostle. You look to him. It's the church's message to the lost. It should be. But it's also God's message to the church. Again, Jesus and Jesus alone satisfies the soul. Good works won't do it. Denominational affiliation won't do it. Self-righteousness won't do it. Pride and self and arrogance in some churches won't do it. Judges chapter 16, verse 30. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. A lot of backstory there. The Jews and Philistines fought back and forth and etc. But Samson played around with Bathsheba, played around, had the power of God on him. But he played around and he lost it and he lost his sight. But finally he said, no, it's time for me to forsake self, carry my own cross. And God gave him a chance to kill more Philistines. Again, he was a soldier, or what have you. It's his job to kill Philistines. He killed more in his death than he killed in his life. You want to work for the Lord? You want to do something? That's fine, but you'd be more effective if you die to self. Take up your own cross daily and follow him. Forsake self. Verse 4 and 5. Behold, I have given him, Jesus, a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. If we'll put aside all these weights and sins that so easily beset us, if we'll get our eyes on Jesus and not our denomination, he'll begin to do something in our hearts and lives, and people will see, and they will turn to you because you've got the answer. And you tell them about Jesus, and they can have it too. The point is Jesus. The object of our faith is Jesus. We need to look unto him. Behold the head, the author and finisher of our faith. The one that's coming from heaven very shortly. Jesus on that white horse. It's Jesus. Look to him. Father, we thank you. We're very grateful for the opportunity to preach the word of God and to hear it. And Lord, help us. Give us strength to believe it. Help us to hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against thee. Lord, please help us. And we're careful to give Jesus Christ all the glory, credit, honor, etc. And in his marvelous name we pray, amen. Hallelujah.
Trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. When the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder. is cold up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of His resurrection share. When His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, when the road is cold up yonder, I'll be there. When the road is cold up yonder, it's mine, and the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. It's mine, and the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine.
That's all about.
We'll sing and shout the victory.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.